I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on Armoring Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Whenever we have Cowboys on the program, I like to play music that's appropriate for Cowboys. This is one of the great songs of American music.
Keep rolling, 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 so the strings are swollen. Keep them doggies rolling, rolling, through rain and wind and weather, hell bent forever, wishing my gal was by my side. All the things I miss.
That's right. Joining us.
That was actually pretty good.
That's a great song, by the way.
The old one.
Yeah. Frankie Lane singing Ride.
Yeah.
Or
Riders. Yeah, Riders of the. The old, before the Doors sang it.
Riders of the Storm.
Yeah, Riders of. Yeah, that one. Before the Doors.
Oh, I've only heard the Doors sing it.
Really? Oh, dude. Who sang that just now?
That was Frankie Lane.
I like
the part where he analyzes the cows. He sings, "Rollin', rollin', rollin'. Oh, keep those doggies moving. No, don't try to understand them. Just rope and ride and brand them." Right? And so he's like actually considering the mental perspective of the cow, which means you might be deployed for too long. So I found the song moderately interesting from that perspective.
Hey, did you get my message this morning?
What message? Which one? No.
I got carried away with the powder washer.
You know what? I almost got one of my toes taken off by a power washer one day.
You told us that story 6 times, okay?
No, but I just, to illustrate my point, I told it once.
Go ahead.
It's fascinating. Power washers are fascinating. You like put the, now, you're a gun guy. Did you put like the most powerful like tip on it and crank it up?
No, that's why I don't hurt myself with the power washer, Mac.
Oh.
Because, see, I don't need to be a gun guy to realize when I see that extremely high pressure water peeling the freaking darkness off my concrete, the one thought that doesn't go through my head is, I wonder if that would do that to my skin.
It does. It didn't? Well, see, no, because you're a smart guy then.
Oh, my God.
Okay, in my defense, I never really seen a power washer before, right? This is years ago. Okay, this is years ago. I had never, ever actually seen one and seen the damage that it could do. And he was just out pressure washing his backyard. Yeah. So I was like, hey, what are you doing?
Just before I got on, I was talking to a buddy of mine about how we talk about on the show about like things, people dealing with things. And he's like, I'll just give an example. And then he goes, dude, that's pretty deep. I mean, you guys are like, that's pretty cool, man, that you guys do that. Then I said, don't think that it's always that. I said, sometimes we're idiots. Like right now, we're talking about power washers. So right now, we'd be in that category of, I can't believe we're having a conversation.
We go to the deep end of the pool, but we make a huge living in the shallow end of the pool, in the waiting pool, okay?
There is no rabbit hole we are not curious about going down.
That's right. And power washers, so what were you power washing? Because you can annihilate your house with a power washer.
It started out. I was using the hose. I was getting some mud off because I was at the ranch this weekend.
Oh.
I had some mud on my sideboards, and it rained, and so I had a little mud pile like right in the middle of the garage driveway. And I'm like, So I took the hose and I'm hosing it down. And I'm like, this is taking an awful long time. I know if I get the power washer, it'll take less time because it'll use less water, but the pressure of it and the speed of it will push the dirt away faster. So I started that baby up, plugged everything in, and sure enough, yeah. And then as I'm doing that, I'm like, oh, now this portion of the driveway is cleaner than this portion. Now that portion over there is cleaner than all of this. Before I knew it, the whole driveway is clean. And then I was like, as I was up near towards the house, I'm like, what have all those spider webs doing? Like, and then I'm like, oh, the front door looks like it needs to be. And then, oh, the algae from the plants has run up. You know what? I wonder what the garage doors look like. The side of the house popping. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, man. And then I'm pull up right, make a hole 6 foot deep. Oh my God.
Wait. You just broke up. We heard the last when you did the garage door and
car washer.
And then because everybody's anticipating what's about to happen, okay? Which is some kind of disaster. So then what happened next after the garage door?
Well, it's the anthill. Then I went after the anthill. Because it always got to end with some torturing some kind of insect with the power washer.
Explain the anthill. The anthill became an issue when Mike's wife observed it, these ants.
No, this is a different anthill.
Oh, it's not
those
the same
ants one? Actually live out in the backyard. That's fine. I'm not talking about those ants. Those ants have right to live.
Are
I'm talking
good?
About this anthill because it was on my way back as I was bringing the power washer back. I saw this anthill on the base of the tree, and I was just like, I wonder if there's any ants in it. So I put the nozzle, like, right to the tip of the anthill, and he pulled it. And that thing makes, like, literally, like, a 6 foot hole, like, immediately in the dirt. And so, usually when you do that, the ants come pouring out. Well, it was a vacant anthill. It was probably their summer home. They probably took off to Mexico for the winter. Because it was vacant. There was nobody in it. But my point is, the power washer incorporates, like, all the fun shit, man. Power tool. Water. Water's always fun. And a gun. Because it comes out like in a projectile. But it's like a continuous stream of projectiles. Like a laser gun.
Laser beam.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's like it's like all of the good I mean, shit, if the power washer made me a sandwich, I'd have to move Tina out.
I would marry my power washer. It's an addictive. But again, you know what? This is kind of a good story, and it shows a degree of maturity that normally I wouldn't associate with you because nothing bad, and there was no calamity. There was nothing bad that happened. Normally, like, these are all building into, and then...
The only reason...
Right, then
the
I thought
reason,
Blitz could use
yeah,
Beth.
No, yep. The only reason... This did not end in calamity was the fact that as I was still power washing, a thought came in my mind of, I wonder what time it is. Holy shit. I bet you Max is trying to call me right now. So I went back and looked at the clock and it was literally 10:59.
So
I was like, what great timing.
So you were still committed to doing other foolish things with the power washer. You just lost.
Oh yeah, dude. I was engrossed into
that bothers me because
power washing.
Me and everybody else listening is thinking, here it
comes.
If
today would have been a day off of the radio show, dude, I'd still be out there power washing. I would be finding things that needed power washing. You cannot just turn on the power washer, do whatever you gotta do, and turn it off. And if any guy's listening that has said, oh no, I do that, he's a liar. Because once you start on one thing, then your eyes catch another. And if it's summertime and they're at a distance, you can spray people because then it's like it's like a mist. It's like stands the entrance of a garage or a car wash. That mist that's coming out. But don't do it close, guys. Don't do it within, 12 feet or something. You'll put an eye out.
Or lose a toe.
More importantly, yeah, or you'll inject water into under their skin. And that, man. Imagine the pain. A water burn, like, could you imagine, like, getting, because it would, like, spray water under your skin.
Oh, no. Let
body.
Me tell you. Mine almost severed my toe and went right through my flip-flop. What was that, a Sabo round? Yeah, like what?
Well, you could use it like a water jet to cut cardboard. Like if you wanted a cheap 3D printer or a CNC lathe machine and you were working on cardboard products, hook up your water jet and just kind of run it up and just manhandle the cardboard underneath to cut it. It'll do it.
Ask
me what, and you know how I know it cuts cardboard?
No.
I did it. I cut a box up with it one time. I was like, I wonder about to box something that way. And I was just having a blast and just cutting all sorts of crazy shit out of it.
Could have used a laser, but we got the next best thing, a power washer.
Water jet. Dude, no, I would buy a water jet cut, like, you know, they make water jet, cutters for wood. You can make, like, wood projects. You know what I'm talking about? Like, and they cut steel. Dude,
you know what they remind me of is I went, when I was at the armor school, when I was a captain, they put us in buses and they took us to the plant that made the M1A1 tank in Lima, Ohio. They don't call it Lima.
Yeah.
Lima, Ohio.
Cutting a water jet.
Oh, yeah, my God. They take you into this factory and they show you how they cut the steel for the tank, especially what's called the glacial plate that sits in the front of the tank, and they cut it at an angle which lengthens the armor, blah, 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 blah. But they take this big slab of steel and it's submerged in water, and you see this, I don't even know what the hell it is, this arc welder in there, water going all over the place. You're like, whoa, that's some serious shit, man. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Dude, it's so much fun.
You know what, one of the, and this is going to happen today, I know it, you can try to do good radio, like we could talk about trauma, we could talk about all kinds of...
I know where you're going with this.
And then as soon as you dumb this son of a bitch down, everybody got to be involved. Hey, Mac, could the gunner give us the specs of his power washer?
Yeah, it's a pretty big one. It's an 8-horsepower. I think it's 3,500 or 4,200 PSI. And it's got a 5-nozzle system. It's a pretty stout one, man. It's Briggs & Stratton, I know that.
Briggs & Stratton makes great stuff. You buy lawnmower Briggs & Stratton, you buy snowblower Briggs & Stratton, you buy power washer, you're going to
buy lawnmowers of Briggs & Stratton. Yeah, so it's an 8.5 horsepower, 3,200 PSI, and it's 2.7 max gallons per minute. And it's got a 5-nozzle system with a zero. That's the laser. You don't want to be careful using the 0-degree one. Yeah. That's like the lightning bolt comes out. The 15-degree, the 40-degree, 70-degree, and then the soap nozzle. I always call it just the soap nozzle because it's just like spurts out soap and stuff. Yeah. But, dude, that thing is, it's a beast. I mean, it's a big engine. The engine's actually bigger than my lawnmower. Looking at it right now.
Yeah, you don't, and let me tell you, and I think we all have learned using power washers, you know, that you need to be careful with them because the things they do around houses is, they blow out caulking. I mean, you're getting
yeah, everything.
No bueno.
Yeah. Yeah, be careful going in, like, around windows, because you'll tear right through the window.
Right. And then all of a sudden, like, water's coming through the window, and, you know, your wife looks at you and says, oh my God, how is that? Why is that happening? And you're like, I have no idea.
No, what I did was, I was using the zero. I'm going to send you a photograph real quick, man, because you're going to get fucking laugh about this. And I've been trying to fix it ever since. So I'll cut the story with, I'm using the zero, cleaning the house. I'm shooting because I'm doing the zero because I want to get way up on the top.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, got to. And so I'm shooting up there. Well, lo and behold, it got a little squirrely. And next thing I know was I hit the beam brace for the awning that's stained. It's got stain on it. And, dude, I just sent you a picture. You're going to laugh your ass off. This is like 2 years. So check your text right now. So dude, it ripped the stain out of the wood. There's like a horseshoe, like a light horseshoe. And dude, I'm telling you, I've tried to restain that thing. And it used to be lighter. You see the picture?
No, it hasn't come through yet.
Oh, God. I've been trying to fix that mistake because that was the first thing my wife saw when she walked outside. She went, why is there a light-colored horseshoe shape in that beam? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe the house came like that. And she looked at me and she goes, were you using the power washer?
No.
What? Me? I'd be more careful with that. I wouldn't put not that power washer in anything I'm not willing to destroy.
Well, in that case, I was willing to destroy it.
Not funny, man.
I'm looking at it. Whoa, that's
insane. Yeah, isn't it? You see the horseshoe?
Yes. Yes, and did you deny it and say, look, how could I
yeah,
do...
I did try and deny it.
How could I do, like, any kind of water pick, how could I do a perfectly shaped horseshoe? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, because I was, you know, I was sweeping it back and forth, and I went, I'm like, oh, shit. I mean, I hit that thing. And it wasn't far, man. I mean, it was probably about, the nozzle was probably about 4 feet from it. Yeah, not good, man. Not good at all.
That's quality. That's quality stuff. That's quality stuff, man. Here we go.
Gotta be careful.
Hey, Mac, redneck water pressure stories. I love it. Has the gunner done anything else creative with his water pressure? And I think his story is emblematic of a lot of the things that most of us do, which I'm just going down to do the end of the driveway. And then 6 hours later.
Yeah. 6 hours later, 18 and a half gallons. Yeah.
Everything that's even close to the house is like whiter than white can be. There's no dirt anywhere. Yeah.
Right.
Those things are. No, I was using one, and like I said, when I saw caulking fly out of the window, I think I was doing my garage. And it's, you know, I'll tell you what, they're great though. I mean, nasty dirt, everything goes. It's just clean. It looks great. And then you hit a window. You're like, oh, that's good. Clean the window from the inside. And then get the edge, and all of a sudden, all the old caulking goes flying out, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
Be careful,
shit,
man.
Shit. How long have you had your power washer?
Oh, when I first, dude, lawnmower I bought, a gas bleep blower, a weeder, and a power washer were the first big power tools that I bought for the house.
Did you, you couldn't really use those in base housing.
No, well, I had an electric one in base housing when I lived on base.
Yeah, which is appropriate. Electric one, right, with a governor on it, can't do that much damage.
And plus about what we were doing was, you know, you do these little odd jobs around, and it had the boat, so it was always nice to just, but then as we got a bigger house away from everything, I just went and got the gas. Because nothing better than a gas engine, dude.
Well, if they can make a battery one that was cordless, I'd be up for that. It's amazing the revolution in tools relative to cordless tools. And everything you used to need electricity for, now they, you know, you can buy it cordless. But not a water pressure yet. I don't know that you can. It'd be a big battery. You need a big battery to generate that kind of railgun velocity.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about, all right, so that was just an impromptu adventure this morning, yes?
Yeah, it wasn't planned, because I mowed today, because, you know, we had a lot of rain, the grass is beautiful green, and so I wanted to get it down to the level. And so after I got done mowing, I was like, oh, there's some mud in the middle of the driveway. Let me get the pressure washer.
You know what, again, I think it's important to do your own yard work. I was out replacing sprinklers. I was out on yesterday. I was I had, you know, this just water seeping out of my grass, and I'm like, like what, like, I know, and I know what it is. It's one of the upspouts, one of the risers out of the, out of the PVC pipe. It's got a crack in it. It's slowly seeping, it's been slowly seeping into the grass. That's why that one corner is so much greener than everything else. And, now it's saturated the grass, and now you got, it's leaking onto the pavement. And I'm like, all right, so get the shovel out, dig a huge hole around the sprinkler so you can get at it, and then start messing with it. And then water's coming from everywhere because there's so much water in the ground. But I think those things keep you as a normal human being because they lead to adventures. You know, they lead to different adventures as you start this, and it goes from this project to that project. And that's what keeps you normal. If you stop driving your car, if you stop fighting the elements at your home, you turn into a wacko, man. You turn into a wacko. So.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So.
You're sure.
What,
And the reason I like to do it is you take some ownership in it. You know? And it just feels good that it's like, this is my house. I like to do it. But I don't like
sweat equity.
It's like getting a haircut, man. It's like hard to find someone to do it right.
Yeah.
And the thing that pissed me off one time is we had some, you know, so if you're doing lawns, multiple lawns, right, as a lawn landscaper,
right,
man, you don't have to, you shouldn't have to tell those guys to clean their equipment between jobs. You know, at least rinse the shit off. And they, when I was asking the guys, did you rinse this shit off last, you know, last couple times you were doing it? He was like, he looked at me and I said, because, you know, here's the problem I have, man. I didn't have any problems in my lawn. You guys start cutting it, and now you have problems. And I attribute it to this. You're cutting lawns that have fungus or, you know, something kind of lawn disease. Those blades of grass and shit are still stuck to everything. And then you come and cut my lawn, and now my lawn. So it's like you're spreading this shit around. And they looked at me like, I just gave them the greatest fucking idea in the world. Like, well, I didn't think of that. Get the fuck off my own property, man. I was so pissed, dude. So pissed. Careless. Like, this is my, you know, you work hard for something. This is how you treat it?
Did you realize that nobody has ever probably said that to them about cleaning their ordinance items?
Rinse them down before you go to the next place. You always should do that. I mean, I rinse my shit out because it keeps it clean.
Yeah, just part of maintaining it. Especially when you're using it like that. And the industrial things that those guys use, those things aren't cheap.
Yeah, and, you know, think about it, Mac. If you, how many lawns are doing in a day? And if they're doing the contaminated lawn, they're spreading it. And so now people are, like, listening, going, shit, I had lawn people and never thought of that. Yeah.
I don't. I can't afford. And
they don't either.
I can't afford them. I do my own. Max Laundry Crew. Hold on. Here's an email. Hey, Mac, how much does a good power washer, I'm sitting here laughing. I could use a little bit of that stuff in my life. What's a good Briggs & Stratton power washer run? What did you spend for yours, Mike?
Cut out, man.
What did you spend for your power washer?
Oh, like maybe $350,
$400. $350 or $400?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty affordable for such fun.
For such an awesome piece of machinery, yeah.
That's cheaper than taking your wife and daughter and going to Disneyland. Think about
it. Yeah, and you're going to have more fun.
You're going to have more fun. Disneyland, Disneyland is crazy expensive now. Crazy expensive.
Disneyland's motto should be like Dante's Inferno, where fun comes to die. Because I can't see having fun in a place like that. I mean, right off the bat. I mean, it's like, what, $100 per person?
Oh, it's more than that.
That's just horrible, dude. And the food is outrageous. Like, oh, I have a corn dog and Pepsi. Do you want it in a souvenir mug? Sure. Okay, corn dog, Pepsi, that's $35. What? What? Am I kidding, Mac?
No. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
$35.
Going,
what am I paying so much money for?
Going to Disneyland or Disney California Adventure will cost $95 to $120 for an adult, depending on the day, as the two parks go to demand-based pricing on February 28th. Under what Disney calls seasonal pricing, customers will pay $95 for value days. That's the days nobody's going. So, like, you could come on leap year Monday at midnight, and you can get in the park for $100. But on the regular during peak days, yeah, you're gonna pay out of your ass because Disney knows how to count. All right. And so there's a difference between if you go to one park or if you go to two parks. It ain't cheap. It is. Yeah, you're like, let's go to Disneyland. $400 for us to get into Disneyland.
How much is like a park hopper pass? Like, you know, you can go back and forth.
Yeah, that's like $140.
Person.
But yeah, per person. But if you pay $250, that thing will last for like 90 days, and you can come back. Well, that's no problem.
How much?
That's $250. That sounds like a better deal. How about we just unload $750 to go to Disneyland? We can come back anytime within the next 90 days and go again. Yeah, that sounds great. It's on your credit card. I don't give a shit. Boom.
Well, remember they used to have what? Remember Disneyland used to have like a year pass?
Yeah, they still do.
How much is that?
Hold on. Stand by. Max, Max Tourist Business getting going here. Annual pass. Disneyland, here's a story. From the Orange County Register, Disneyland raises prices on most tickets and all annual passes. Let's see, what's the date on this? It's probably years ago, too. Oh, 2018. You know, Disneyland fireworks go off.
That costs money, dude.
Insurance money for family vacations, selling baked goods, but as she said, she can't bake enough to earn $600 by Friday. Rachel Broughton of Queen Creek, Arizona was despondent about the price increases, which she estimates will soon cost her family $600 a year. Hold on, I'm looking. Let's see, value pack, one-day park hopper, which will actually decrease in price from $157 to $147. So the
for one day?
For one day, but you can go to both parks.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thanks, Disney.
This is the big increase. It has... his new pass will cost $1,000, but up
per year
from the price of the same pass before today.
$1,000 for a year pass.
It's the Magic Kingdom. Hello. Hi ho, hi ho.
But you don't get, and the thing with the annual pass though is you have to pay extra if you want to come on Prime Day.
Right.
Right.
Well, you can get the $4,000 annual ticket, and then you can go any day you want to. But yeah.
Oh, what a deal!
You can pay $1,000, but you can't go.
I feel like an ass. I'm making fun of them now.
Yeah, you can't go near any major holiday. You can't go during Christmas or New Year's or that block. So any time where there's a lot of tourists, the annual pass doesn't work. What do you mean I can't go? Yeah, you can't go. This is let me give you some prices. Disney Signature Pass is $1,150. Admission to the park every day of the year. Okay. Disney Signature Passport, admission to one or both theme parks most days of the year. That's $1,000. Disney Deluxe passport is $729, but that's only $48 a month. No, it's not. If you're 3 years old, it's $48 a month.
Admission, if you're three?
Yeah, if you're three.
What a deal.
admission to one or both theme parks during select days of the year, and 10% off select dining. Not all dining, select dining.
But you know what? I bet you they card that three-year-old, too, to make sure he's three. You got to, like, submit three forms of identification to make sure he's three.
Dude,
they don't want
Disney
you getting by on them, dude.
Disney takes your picture with a passport so nobody else can use it. When you swipe that thing, up comes your mug. So you can't hand it to anybody. They do facial recognition on their passports. And then
I doubt it, man.
Oh, let me tell you, Disney is maniacal about their business. And I'm not kidding. A friend of mine got arrested there, and they took him down underground. He said, dude, you don't ever want to go down there.
Goofy comes out with a freaking baseball bat, and Mickey's got a fucking hose and a bucket of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get waterboarded by Mickey and Goofy, boys.
Come on in here.
Nothing more humiliating than that.
Come on in here, son.
See, now this would be the opportunity to do your Mickey voice, like your interrogation.
No, you told me not to do the Mickey voice in the third hour.
You missed it.
During the interrogation.
I'll tell you what, boys and girls.
Give me the jumper cables. Yeah, badass. Time for you to pay, motherfucker. Yeah, walking around Disneyland like you're all somebody and shit, huh? Yeah, give me the drill. Give me the drill. Hold his kneecaps.
Yep.
Yeah, you think they had some shit going on in Abu Ghraib? They've never been downstairs at Disneyland, god damn it.
This is the time where we get crazy. Like, yeah.
Oh, shit. No, he did. He said he went down there. He said there's absolutely nothing, like, there's no Magic Kingdom down there where it's going on.
Oh, no.
He said, it's serious shit, man. The cops rolled in and grabbed me. He did something stupid at Disneyland. He's really funny. We were there, and when we were in college, my youngest sister came down to visit me. So my mom sent money to go to Disneyland. So we took the money, and I think we ate most of the time, and then we took it to Disneyland, and he jumped in right at the end of the parade as it's going down Main Street. He hops in right at the end of it, and he's waving to people. He's walking behind it late. I thought I was gonna piss my pants, man. It was stupid and hilarious. But he said, yeah, when he was a teenager, he got arrested at Disneyland, which wasn't a good deal. But yeah, it's not cheap. If you live out here and you go on a regular basis and you can pick the days that you can go, then
and you had $4,000 extra in your laying around.
The cheapest pass is $369 if you're over the age of three, right? And so that makes sense, okay, if you're going to go more than three times a year. Otherwise, it's an expensive. Hey, can you imagine taking a family of four? And as Mike said, and you're going to stay there the whole damn day because you lay out that kind of money, you know, and then if you're stupid enough to go on a hot day and it's nothing but concrete, right? Kids are dropping from heat exhaust, and you're like, get up, punk. I spent $600. Your ass
then
is
the
dumped.
Bottles of water. The bottles on the hot day, if you notice, the bottles of water that are cold go for $1 extra, boys and girls. You know? Come on.
Oh, it's brutal,
Where
man.
In the world is that acceptable? You know, like, let's take advantage of this.
Yeah, never go to the Magic Kingdom when it's hot. It is horrible because it's just a hot concrete place and with people that smile and just kill your wallet. Kill your wallet. But
people, you know, like, they go there on family vacation, but they, like, save up all year to go. Yeah. And they're like, you know, then they're eating ramen and macaroni and cheese to make up for it.
Which, you know, if that's what you want to do, then so be it. But no, no. If you, so if you have a family of five, before you even paid for parking and bought anything, right, you've dropped close to $600 to go to Disneyland for a day.
Right.
Maybe not. Yeah, that was my conversations with my sons. They're in high school. It's like, hey, Dad, let's go golfing.
Right.
Okay, green fees, what is that, $35 a piece? Okay, $105.
Cart rental.
Yeah, how many carts? Well, we need two, or else one of us has to walk. So carts are what, I don't know, $20-$30. So now we're talking about another $70. So now we're pushing $200, and we haven't gone to the driving range. Well, and we have to eat. We're not going to play golf for like 5 hours and not eat or drink. Like,
or, yeah, see.
Like,
and then the golf girl comes by, and then you're compelled to buy something.
Cause listen to this shit.
You don't want to be
listen
cheap.
To this. So now the golf girl's going away. They're delivering the food
what?
By drone.
That's in California, dude. That's in La La Land. That's in Weirdville out there.
No.
Right?
This
that's,
is in.
No, don't
this
give
is
me
in,
that shit.
This is in.
US
no, this is in North Dakota. They're delivering food by drone on a golf course.
Well, because they ran out of pretty girls in North Dakota. I mean, come on. That's
bullshit.
Shallow,
that's bullshit.
We have, feminine, dude.
We have one in North Dakota. She can
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, she's currently on vacation still.
She might have been. Got to get the drone. Got to get the drone. How do you not spill shit all inside the drone? I want two beers. I want a hot dog. I want this. I want that. All right, load it all up. Put it in the drone.
Well, the nice thing about the drone is you can always blame the drone for the tip. I gave the drone the tip. he did with it on his way home back to you, that's on him.
The drone ate the tip. Yeah.
The drone looks like he has a meth problem. He's probably finds meth on the way back.
But the girl that drives the beer cart, she's now a thing of history? If that's
only
the case,
because there's a shortage of good-looking girls.
In North Dakota. You're right.
In North Dakota.
Maybe. Because that's the beer cart, man. That's an incredible social event. That's an incredible social event. All right, do you want to talk about F-18, man? Or do you want to not talk about
him? No, let's don't talk about him because that upset me.
All right. We don't want you to get upset.
Well, let's just say that the only football I'm watching again this year is college ball. And, you know, like we were talking about yesterday, we enjoy college ball. It's fun to watch. I cannot stand. The NFL is doing everything in their power to try and look good in everybody's eyes.
They can't, though.
Right?
They can't.
They can't. No. I mean, they got all sorts of new shows, all sorts of new hosts, like, oh, this is great. You know, we should do this, we should do that. It's like, whatever. But, yeah, I'm done with those guys, man. And I'm holding to that. I'm not like, I'm done with them, except for, like, home games. And then, except for, like, you know, when they give away the bobblehead, then I'm going to be there at that game, because I want my freaking bobblehead. Yeah, dude, I'm done with those guys. Done.
Yeah, needless to say,
one
member of the Ass Clowns was, I don't know how you would be oblivious to that, okay? I'm not sure how you'd be, but he was. And he bombs out yesterday a comment, and there's just, and nobody reacts to it. Not one of the other four of us.
Because I was biting my tongue on that one, dude. I like him.
I know. And so nobody says anything until Montana man wakes up from his drunken stupor this morning. Right?
Yeah.
And
he
looks at his phone and he sees it and he's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And I'm like, I've got to add some sanity in it. So I like, I in an effort to stop it, I like hacked it off the kneecap. And then we wake up in Texas. And then it didn't go well after
right.
that. Email, gun talk. Hey, Matt, pressure wash talk is far superior than gun talk ever was. Well going. Let's start tool talk. You know, Mike could do, you could do, Mike loves tools and gadgets. Yes or no?
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
He's not, let me just tell you, he's trying to say that. If you look in his garage, or if his wife was here listening to that, you would have just heard a poof as she slapped him across the face. Okay? They're good is not even close. Okay?
It's a, yeah, that's true.
The here's another one. Did I just hear Mickey Mantle waterboarding and drilling kneecaps from Abu Ghraib? That shit was
that's what you heard.
That shit was fucking hilarious. There's not too many people that can link those kind of things. Mickey Mouse to Abu Ghraib and drilling kneecaps. That's what Saddam Hussein used to do. In fact, one of the funny things I remember, General Nicholson is just retiring. He might already be, I think he's already retired. Might be home already. But he came back from going through the jail in Fallujah with the chief of police of the city of Fallujah. So he came over for lunch, brings his entourage, right, to have lunch, big deal, sit down and talk to Colonel Nicholson, who is the commanding officer of the battle space, blah, 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 blah. So now they're going to go tour our jail. And so the police chief, it's like he's walking with Colonel Nicholson, and he says, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him now, kill him right now. In fact, if somebody were having a pistol, I will shoot him right now. Colonel Nicholson's like, hey, chief, can we just, let's not do that right now. He's walking through, kill him, kill him, kill him. And he comes back and he says, you people are crazy. Do the American people know what you guys are having a meltdown over these dogs and these naked guys and the pictures and all that? Do the American people know what used to go on there? Where they used to hang people by meat hooks and drill their kneecaps, or when it was overcrowded, they'd count off by threes and every third guy would get shot?
Yeah.
I don't think we do. He said, you're...
Nope.
We don't really. You people have the meltdowns over the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, that's what we do. It's what we do. They used to... If it was overcrowded, they'd take everybody out in the yard and count off by threes. Boom, 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 boom. Shot in the head, shot in the head. Okay, the rest of the prisoners that are still there, they're like, whew, dodge that one. Hey, throw the bodies in the truck and go dump them off Route Lincoln or in the Tartar Canal. Tartar Canal and let them float into Syria. There you go. That's how that one works.
But they don't do that because we're above that, so that's not...
Yeah, we won't want to tell you the rest of the story. Which way does the Euphrates River flow? Does it flow towards Syria? It flows from Baghdad to Syria, right?
Down.
Which way is downstream?
No, it flows to Basra. Both the Tigris and Euphrates flow to Basra.
So it flows out of Syria into Iraq and then down to the...
Yeah.
Interesting. How would you describe the Euphrates River when you're driving by looking at it? It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous, man. And I see some big fish being pulled out of that thing, too.
Yeah, but there is a little bit of raw sewage that flows into that thing. I don't know if you know that, Mike.
A lot? You said a lot or a little bit?
There's a little bit of raw sewage that flows into that thing.
Dude, I think that's all that flows into that thing. That's like the feeder. What's the, you know, like the headwaters of the Minnesota is like a little lake, or the Minnehaha and those type of Mississippi. All those headwaters are in Minnesota.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The headwaters of the Euphrates is like your toilet.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. But I'll tell you what, when you see it, first of all, especially it's hot and dry and all the rest of that stuff, and you see the Euphrates, it looks beautiful. Big river, you know, connected to the Bible and all that, and it looks absolutely beautiful. Like, God, it'd be so nice to just go dive in that and go swimming.
Yeah.
Maybe not. maybe not. Nothing in my experience.
No, but like I said, I see some big fish come out of there.
Where?
Like, oh my God.
What, when you went,
when we were at Hurricane Point.
When you went fishing with the seals?
No, when at Hurricane Point, some of the locals would fish on the dam.
Oh.
There was like a broken dam on the other side.
The barrage, right? What that, is that what they call that thing, the barrage?
Yeah.
What, the one you drove?
So
the,
it looked like,
the one
it looked
you
like freaking tarpon.
How big?
Oh, it's huge, dude. It was freaking huge.
Really?
I mean, it was like it looked like a tarpon.
Wow. So for those people that aren't familiar with that, tell people how big that a tarpon is.
Oh, like 4 or 5 feet.
That's big. That's a big fish. It's eating a lot of disgusting stuff.
Well, that's why I looked, when I saw it, I thought it was a tarpon, man. I was like, ah, that's cool. That's a tarpon.
Are you a fisherman?
But it wasn't. It probably wasn't. I would say I'm a fisherman. I'd say that I have fished. But that's like that whole cutting down one tree doesn't make you a lumberjack. Right?
You know what? That's actually profound. You're absolutely right. So you fish.
Well, I was going to say, there's like an old saying that, you know, cut down 100 trees, no one...
You don't need to finish
right?
this.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. That's on 100 trees. No one calls you a lumberjack, but you
have sex.
One goat.
You have sex with one goat. One goat. Only
Everybody
one.
They call you goat fucker. Yeah.
Right. The first time I heard that is like, this guy Jacob is standing on this hill, and they're looking over the city. And he says, you know, I built like 15 bridges in this community. No one calls me Jacob the Bridge Builder. And then he goes, I built 18 skyscrapers. Do you think they call me Jacob the Skyscraper Builder? No. I screw one lousy goat. And I'm Jacob the Goat Effer for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's a funny story.
Man. That's a funny story. All right, what else you got going on today? Anything exciting? Hey, did you ever meet John Ripley?
No.
Did you ever meet John Ripley?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Colonel Rip?
Yes.
Yeah.
I never met him, but I was reading about. I'll tell you, if you don't know, if you haven't read a bunch about what he did at the bridge at Dong Ha, and go online. You don't need to. On Wednesday, you're going to meet some people that were great friends with him, and I'm going to play some audio from him. But, Mike, how did he not win the Medal of Honor for that?
I don't know, man. Witnesses?
Yeah, it's like, this is the craziest shit. He's underneath the bridge at Dong Ha doing jungle gym stuff, rigging hundreds of pounds of satchel charges, and he's taking them and throwing over his shoulders. He's been up for 3 days. He's, you know, lost 40 pounds since he got there, the typical Vietnam advisor story. And 1972, and this is the bridge that the whole offensive is coming down.
Yeah.
Captain Ripley. Captain Ripley. And all he, in fact, I was listening to it, all he thought, he says, all the only thing I was thinking about was, you know, I felt terrible because I knew I was going to get killed, and I, you know, how would my wife and my kids deal with it? And he says that's what I kept thinking about. A deeply religious guy.
That's a great book. I have that book too.
Which one? His book. What is it? American Night
or
the Bridge at Dong Ha? Yeah, the Easter Offensive in 1972.
I got both. I think I got both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's.
I got the one that was written about his exploits. Was it something about the night, right?
Yeah, I want to say it's called American Night, and it's a picture of him in his blues. It's a great looking picture. Yeah, and American Night, the life of Colonel John W. Ripley, USMC.
Yeah,
the man who halted North Vietnamese attack died at the age of 69 too. So you know, as a 6-year-old, I would say relatively young. But you talk about a story that is unbelievable. I was telling Mike, I don't know when we talked, but I started watching military funerals. And I think I started because I was reading about him, and I watched part of his funeral. And then I saw the guys at 8th and I. If you want to see something really cool, our pallbearers and the whole thing that they roll out, our pageantry in the Marine Corps, is really cool. Is really cool. And I saw, you know, Ripley is buried at the Naval Academy. And then I saw General Monday was buried in his hometown. I can't remember, some small town in North Carolina. I saw Mike that you see, you know, one of the companies from 8th and I and the band following the hearse walking through this small American town. And it looks awesome. All these people lying in the streets and rendering honors to an American hero. And it's, in that case, it was General Monday. Who was buried, former commandant, but Colonel Ripley, man.
Right.
How did you meet him? When did you meet
him? I met him through somebody else. And it was, you know, God. It was in Quantico. And it was before I was a gunner. I think I was maybe a staff sergeant or a gunny. But what a man. I mean, just a kind, gentle soul. But when you realize what he did, because he's not a big guy.
How big is he?
What the fuck is calling me? I'd say he's like, well, I'm gonna say he's like Bronzy size, but then I make Bronzy listen. He's like, I'm a big guy.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? Bronzy's probably
no, he's wiry.
Five,
you know, he's
yeah,
athletic.
5'10". But wiry. Yeah, I'm with you.
Wiry.
The so yeah, you'll hear his story on Wednesday. So I started looking at the way this starts is I'm looking at books about Dong Ha, and then I'm looking up the authors. I'm looking up articles about Dong Ha, trying to find somebody who's still alive that's written. And sadly, everybody who's written has passed away. So then I called General Drowdy, who comes on the program. He's a Naval Academy classmate. So
right.
So it'll be cool. But yeah, His story is literally unbelievable. And so they have like hundreds of North Vietnamese tanks and armored vehicles that are coming down what's known as Highway 1. The Dong Ha Bridge is the only place to cross. And he doesn't even have permission to blow it. And a guy named Jerry Turley, who became a general officer in the Marine Corps, I think, Ripley calls back and says, I need to blow this bridge. And he says, hey, that's got to go to Corps for you to get it approved. And you don't have time to wait for that. And it's got to be blown. And so, you know, essentially says, we never had this conversation. Do what you need to do. And Ripley goes out and he blows the Dong Ha Bridge. But the act is, and again, it's one of those things that Mike and I have talked about, is survival in combat, is it more skill, is it more luck? He's going hand over hand on the underside of this bridge. I don't know how many trips he makes. He says he lost count. To put all these, how much is a satchel charge? How many pounds?
16 and, well, each, okay. Wait, no, it's 20 pounds, right? Because, there's 16 box and they're 1.25 pounds. So yeah, I think it's like 16.
So 20 pounds.
20 pounds.
Okay, that would make sense. So
it's been a while, man. But
okay, so each one is 20 pounds. So you got 40 pounds that are hanging that he put on bandolier style, and now and I'll tell you what, I'll just tease the interview. So don't miss Wednesday.
That's all right.
He says as he's saying, he developed this rhythm. You know how you kind of go through those bars that you go hand over hand on your playground at school, and you learn that to use your body weight. You grab one, your body swings, your body comes back, and then you grab the next one. That kind of rhythm. He says he developed it. He's thinking about his family, and I told you he's a deeply religious man, and he said, Jesus, Mary, help me. Jesus, Mary, help me. And that's, he went back and forth. He says a tank round hits the bridge because they could see him. A tank round and other rounds are hitting the bridge as he's going underneath it. And he's doing this Jesus, Mary, help me thing. And he survives the whole thing. He said, I knew I wasn't going to live through this. I'd been in Vietnam enough. I'd seen bad stuff. But it had to be done. And lo and behold, here I am. So, interesting.
He's a great story, man. Great American.
Yeah, you know what? And honestly, a great American. Because, again, the thing that never forget, we don't go to those places to conquer them. We go there to help, and sometimes it doesn't work out. We don't go there to conquer. We go there to help, and then we leave, and we give it to them. Nobody does that on the planet. Nobody does that.
Well, I would conquer if they would allow me. It's just me.
We couldn't even raise our flag in most of those places.
I know.
These days. So, anyway. All right,
and
man.
They get all upset when I got, like, the Crusader shield on my vehicle.
Oh, that's not making anybody happy.
No. All right, man. I'll let you roll.
Have a good day. There he is, the one and only, Michael Musselman, Gunner, Power Washer. Yeah, Colonel Ripley's story. Awesome. The Wednesday. Here's an email entitled Too Much Fun. All I can say is awesome. This is my first time listening to you and Mike live. I'm hooked. For your information, I used to own a 6500 PSI pressure washer. Talk about potential for damage. From Texas, big thanks, George. Thanks for listening, George. A word of caution, though. That thing gets tipped. That thing takes 90 degree turns and gets tipped upside down on a regular basis. But yeah, John Ripley, man, crazy. The story, and what, you know, again, what a man. I mean, and let me tell you, that's Vietnam was big war with an enemy that would close with you. Yeah, so essentially, to paint the picture, you have the Easter Offensive in 1972 coming down Highway 1. All their tanks and all of it. Ripley blows a bridge, and then because of our air power and naval gun power, we blow the shit. Like, remember the Highway to Hell north of Kuwait City during the Gulf War? Yeah, we do a version of Highway to Hell for the North Vietnamese on there, based on the valor of one dude. So whenever somebody tells you one person doesn't make a difference, introduce him to John Ripley. Straight up man right there. There's a great painting of him at the Naval Academy, hanging there. And it shows him kind of hanging underneath the bridge. Yeah, pretty cool. But I will say this, I'm not going to do the interview if Drowdy can't be a part of it. Because Drowdy needs to be a part of it, and he's teaching. So I have to convince him to record something tonight or tomorrow night. Alright, if you're just joining the program, don't touch that dial. Hour one. I'm going to link for you Admiral Stockdale at the Hanoi Hilton and Coming Home. Dr. Viktor Frankl, who wrote The Meaning of Life. Josh Goldberg from Boulder Crest Retreat, who got me to thinking. And how you take coexisting with PTSD and the gospel of coexisting and how you turn that into winning. I'm going to do that in hour number one. So, yeah, whoa, that's some deep shit. So, Mac, how do you go from power washing and Mickey Mouse waterboarding and kneecapping people in the basement of Disneyland to that? It's called being intellectually flexible and probably immature. There you have it. Let me read you another email. Did it again. I've got a mouthful of coffee when you go into your Mickey Mouse waterboarding in the basement of Disneyland. Spit it right out. Didn't spit it on my keyboard this time. I spit it straight on the floor. Just so everybody knows, it wipes up easier that way. I thought you weren't going to do that voice in the third hour. And the gunner was even laughing when you did. Well done, Mac. I try. What can I say? I try. That shit's funny. All right, have a great day. Hour 2, Grant Newsham. We talked about North Korea's parade with no ICBMs. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. All we want to do is starve our country in peace. So just leave us alone. So you can hear Grant. Actually, towards the end of the interview, we talk about our deficit with the Chinese and the soft currency stuff. Bob Nielsen actually sent me an email. Grant's comments on China's soft currency vis-a-vis so-called soft currency viz is so important. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for listening. On a Monday, Almarine Radio is over, and I'll tell you a funny story before I say out. So I'm talking to the guy who wants me to come up to Minnesota and do my thing. Okay, so his name's Tim, former CH-46 Navy pilot, and so he said I only have one complaint. I'm like, oh, here we go, every kind of complaint. And he says, you used to say out differently than you say it now. I said, yeah, I changed it. He said, I don't like it. I said, so you want me to go back to out? And he says, yes, I love that. I said, okay. Okay, so I'll go back to the old way of saying out? And he's like, please. So, on a Monday, that's just so you know why I needed to footnote this change. Almarine Radio, over and out.